Welcome, listeners, to a new episode, bonus episode of Oh My Word Podcast. And today we have a special guest author with us. And it's a children's book writer, and her name is Bracha Goetz. And everyone, please, let's welcome Bracha to the program. Welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Great. We're happy to have you. So let's get into things. You've written many, many books specifically for kids. How did you even get into that you decided you were going to write books for kids?
Well, let's see. I think I was writing since elementary school. I remember that I wrote a poem about how amazing books were. I remember that they read it like in front of like a big PTA meeting in the elementary school. Wow. It was about how you read a book and it takes you any place, you know. And to me, I call like that was like a foreshadowing of where I was headed, you know, because I did love books. And actually, my favorite books are still children's books. I love picture books. And, you know, that's what I was reading then. That's what I'm still reading. That's what I really like. but how did I write my first children's book? I was sitting outside. I lived in Israel. And I was sitting outside with my children were playing in the playground. I brought a notebook with me, and I started writing, like, ideas that I had. I made it into a book. Then I put it in an envelope. I had no computer, no typewriter, nothing. I think it was loose leaf paper. I put it in an envelope, mailed it to America, and, like, 6 weeks later, I got a letter back that it was accepted as a book. So that was the beginning. And then I thought, oh, good, this is how you write children's books. I can do this.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Because you're saying that this is already when you're taking your kids to the playground. So between elementary school and that point, there was no attempt to write a book in between there? Or you hadn't really thought you'd actually be able to make it happen?
Let's see. Well, you know, I was studying at Harvard. I was studying to be a psychiatrist. I went on to medical school. After my first year of medical school, I had a six-week vacation when I went to Israel, and I ended up never returning. Ended up living in Israel for 10 years, and my life was very exciting. Then I met my husband. I had children. I was at home. I wasn't really working. I was raising these little children. So I wasn't even thinking about writing. I did a lot of writing during college. I was helping editing books and working on different projects, research, but to get back into writing, then I finally had time again when I had little children to start thinking in this creative way. I was in a very creative place, and so I was exploring all these things, and that's when I really just started writing books at that point. That was really my first chance to get the idea of writing books.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So you never finished the psychiatry degree, or you did finish that?
No, I didn't go back to medical school till I returned to the United States where I'm living now. I think it was 10 years later, and I would have to do my prerequisites again. It was couldn't go back to medical school at that point. First, I was going to take a year's leave of absence, which I did, but I ended up staying in Israel. And then, eventually when my youngest child started school full time, then I was either going to go back to school or find an interesting job. And I ended up finding an interesting job, so I never really returned to school. I've had basically two jobs in those years since, where I was directing, like activity director at like a large senior residence.
Oh.
And then I was directing a Big Brother, Big Sister program, mentoring children. So I did that for over 20 years of that almost. And
wow.
So basically that's what I was doing until now when I retired. And now I am really involved with my writing and reaching out to people, teaching about different concepts from my books also. And that's what I could really do on a full-time basis. So
what
I'm doing.
Wow. So from your early college studies and working at the senior residence and the mentoring program, do any of those or have any of those fed into writing for kids somehow something that you picked up there that translates, or it seems like very different, I guess you could say, areas?
Yeah, right. Great question. Well, all of my books have one thing in common. I mean, all of my books are about helping souls to shine, and that's what I wanted to do as a psychiatrist also.
Right.
I feel like more my work is more about psychiatry. I was interested in because I was interested in the interrelationship between the body and the mind. I love science. There's a lot of amazing things about science in my books because, like, I think also even when I was at Harvard as an undergraduate, I was taking courses at the Graduate School of Public Health there. So I'm very interested in public health, and that comes across in my books as well, where I teach about different concepts like healthy eating, and I teach about disabilities, and I teach about staying safe. Those were kind of breakthrough books, like the Let's Stay Safe book and the Personal Privacy book are about, for a Jewish culture, framed for a Jewish culture specifically about staying safe. I talk about all different ways to stay safe, but it also covers the area of personal safety in terms of protecting children from abuse. And also if a child was, God forbid, abused, what to do and how to report. So these are things that they were kind of breakthrough books at the time when they were published. And, you know, I love being able to help the Jewish communities in this way, to be more educated in areas where children need more education. And healthy eating is still an area which I think needs more work. There's a book that I'm working on now about that too. I think we could do even more to improve healthy eating, especially in Jewish communities. A lot of junk food gets eaten, which is really a serious issue when we really have an obligation to take care of our bodies, because our bodies are what house our souls. And if we don't take care of our bodies, then we won't be able to do so many good things in this world. The longer we get to live and do mitzvahs, to do good deeds and good things, we need to take care of our bodies so that we can live longer and be able to do more good things in the world.
Wow, absolutely. Amen. So that is that all the, if I saw correctly, I think all your books are published. They're all Jewish. All your kids' books are all Jewish, specifically Jewish kids' books. I think they're all with Hachai Publishing. Most of them are.
Most of my books are Jewish. There are two books, two children's books for the general public, and then one memoir I wrote, which is for anybody. I mean, it does explain how I became an Orthodox Jew, but it's a book for anybody, that anybody could understand. It's about my whole past. And so that's the only book I wrote for adults.
Yeah.
Because I really don't like to write long things. I love writing short books. And I'm also kind of a poet, so I like to write things in a very concise way. So this book actually wrote itself, I would say. I didn't really have to write a long book. I kind of compiled, I compiled my poems, letters that I wrote, diaries that I kept, and put it together into this book, which actually served as a kind of therapy for me in seeing how the thread of my life, what thread went through my whole life, and it was fascinating. Putting it together was an awesome experience. I recommend it to everybody to write up their lives, and you will see the path that your life has taken with much more clarity.
Wow.
It's really an awesome experience to do this. Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty cool. So going back to some of the books that you wrote that, for example, one about keeping kids safe and especially from abuse, the book itself was written for kids. So how do you take, was there something specific that prompted you to write that, or that was, or just a general thing that you felt was needed? And then how do you take something like abuse and write that for kids to say, because I've seen that book and I remember there was a line in it about, you know, there's no secrets between you and adults, you know, that aren't your parents kind of thing. If someone says, you know, don't tell your parents, then that's, you say no to that. So how do you figure, how do you break that down? It's such a big thing. It's so important to try to write for kids.
Yes. When I was working as, you know, when I was coordinating the mentoring program, the Big Brother, Big Sister program,
right,
I became very familiar with the literature on this subject. It's a very important subject. We have to screen out people that may want to become mentors to children for all the wrong reasons.
Right.
We have to be really careful at screening for that.
Wow.
And thank God we did an excellent job. All those nearly 20 years that I worked on that, we worked really hard to screen people.
Wow.
So that it could be totally an enriching experience for the children that need it. So I was very familiar with the literature, and I wanted to write something culturally specific for the Orthodox community that wasn't teaching children enough about this at the time. So that's how I was really able, I felt like I was in a particularly good situation to do that because I was extremely familiar with the secular literature about this, you know, so
right.
I was able to translate it into writing it culturally specific for the Orthodox community. And still, to write it in a very cheerful way, in a calm way, in a way that I never expected this, but I hear from children, many children telling me how much they enjoy the Let's Stay Safe book, which is really interesting. I wouldn't expect children to be so in love with that book because it's a lot of rules.
And, right.
But you know, children like having rules. That's what, it's amazing to find that. Of course, the pictures are phenomenal and make the book really great too, but children really feel secure in the structure of the type of all the guidelines that are presented in the book. So I love that children enjoy reading it. That's my goal with all my books. I'm writing about really deep subjects.
Right.
And it's to write them in a delightful way. That's my goal. And that's what I love to do anyway. There's a part of me that's very much like a child still. No matter that, today's my birthday, by the way.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yeah, today I turned 65, and I still feel like a child, which is really wild. But it's because, I got to tell you why. You know, I tell people that when you look in the mirror and you see wrinkles starting to be on your face, you feel a real disconnect. Who is that in the mirror?
Right.
And why do we feel a disconnect? Because our souls never age.
Huh.
We are really spiritual beings in physical bodies. So there's a disconnect when we see that person who is aging in the mirror because our souls are timeless.
Huh.
They're not aging. And so that's the part of me that is still childlike. And I still have such a sense of wonder about the world, and I love to learn things. So I think that comes across in my books because I just have a lot of joy and wonder about the world, and I love to share that.
Wow,
yeah.
That's fantastic. So do you have a specific either rule of thumb? I know this is going to be more for you specifically, that when you're trying to break down a concept, are there certain words, like is it easy for you to translate it for kids, or are there certain words that you try to aim for, or certain types of words that you aim for over other words to be able to break a concept down and keep it upbeat, or just the words kind of just flow, so there's not really a rule for that?
Great question. I do try to write smaller words that children will understand. And because I was never really into reading big books, like even at Harvard, I would read the beginning of the book and the end of the book. I'm a really slow reader, and I would get what the book was about, you know, and look
right.
a little bit in the middle, because it would take me forever to really read the assignments, you know. So I like to get what's the crux, what's the essence, what's at the core. That's what I like to present. And so the words, yes, there's not like a high-level vocabulary in the books, and I don't think I have a really high-level vocabulary in general. I like to write in a simple way. So, I get such joy out of being able to express something which may seem complex in a simple way. That's really, I feel that's one of my purposes in life. That's my essence. That's what I love to do, to get it down to the core. That's what a poem is, I think. Oh, I have some great line about that. A core is like the kernel inside. That's what it is. It's, yeah.
Right. So it seems that in general, that would be what you'd say about picture books, is that in a way you could almost address any topic if you could get the core of it and then tell that over in simpler, I don't know, simpler kind of words. Because then you could have stuff that's really either deep or complex, but if you could simplify it, then you could give it over. Does that go along with what you're saying?
As long as in your mind you have clarity about what you're trying to express and you can do it. That's it. It's all what goes on in your mind beforehand, you know, and you have to, you know, I have to really ask God to let it be clear for me, because it's a blessing when it comes, you know, that clarity. Sometimes I'll go to sleep at night and I won't know how to be able to express it. I'll wake up in the morning and it's there.
Wow.
It's just, you know, I say that it rains down, like these ideas from God just kind of rain down into one's head. You'll see that so many times in the morning you wake up and the neurons have just, you know, they've made their synapses, they've made their connections, and you've got it. So I keep a pad by my bed with a pen, and I scribble it down, sometimes in the dark, it's not yet light, and I'm scribbling away so I could try to not forget what just came to me, you know?
Yep. That's funny. Because it always comes right at the most awkward, not awkward moments, sometimes at like inconvenient moments, the good ideas come. Like, how can I write this down?
It's such a joy. I keep those, like on napkins, you write it wherever you are, you can grab a piece of anything to write it on, and then, like when I have a chance, like let's say I'm in a car for a long trip, I'll bring those little pieces of paper with me and play with them and see if something comes out of them, like a book. I also love it on plane trips or bus trips. Those are like great things I love to do. Just sit there because I know I'm not wasting any time. And somehow just traveling, when I'm on that journey, it makes it even more that I'm flowing in my writing too. I could just flow and see what comes out. Once I wrote like two books on a plane trip, maybe I was going to Israel, I don't know. But it was like there was plenty of time and I just keep going and playing with it. It's like, it's a great time to do it. Yeah. So if you can't write right then, you just kind of save the idea and you put those things in a certain place, your box of ideas, and you take it with you when you're going to have some time to write.
Wow. Well, also with so many books that you've got out, are most of your ideas ones that have kind of popped into your head and then it took you, then you just had to, you know, go through the process of writing it out and fleshing it out? Or most of these ideas are ideas that you've gone and looked for, like, okay, I think I would need to write something about this, you know, or is it kind of both, or?
You know, this is interesting. I feel that there's many times I wish somebody else would write the book and then I wouldn't have to do it.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of feel like, sometimes I feel this message has to be in the world.
Right.
And so if no one else is doing it, I'll do it, you know?
Right.
It just has to be there. Like, this is really funny. One person was once interviewing me and they said, could you tell me about the character development in your books? I said, there really isn't that much character development. And they said, well, what about plot? How do you work on the plot development? I said, there really isn't that much plot in my books. They go, what is in your books? You know, like what's left? And I said, you know, it's really, I just try to get messages into the world. That's really all I'm about. And like, I may need some characters to do it or some plot to do it, but that's not really what I'm after. Like many writers, that's what they love. But for me, I'm not really into the writing so much as just, you know, like bringing these ideas into the world. That is what I love to do.
Oh, that's interesting. So how do you get the message out without it's seeming preachy? Or is that because, you know, if it's a kid, especially if it's for a kid's book, they, you know, kids don't want to read a book that they just feel like they're being, that they're giving a sermon, you know, that they're being lectured to. So, like, how do you balance that?
Question. Yeah. I am so impressed with your questions. These are fantastic questions.
Thank you.
This is so great. That is the whole thing. How do you do it?
Yes.
To me, this is how I do it. I go into the head of the child.
Okay.
I try to write it from the child's perspective so that who's going to be preachy? That I'm the child in the book. You know what I mean? And I try to be, in many of my books, I'm the child who's discovering these different ideas. So there's no parental figure telling you what to do. It's the child that is making these discoveries in life. And that's just me in my own head discovering it too. It's that childlike place in me that is just like thrilled by the wonder of this information and this knowledge, you know? So I think that's why it doesn't come across as preachy. And the children find the delight in it too, because it's the delight of the child that's discovering it and sharing it.
Right. Yeah. So it's almost like you're inviting the kid, as in the reader, to come along and discover it with you instead of, okay, now someone's going to teach this to us.
I think so. I hope so.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that's what I'm trying. That is what I'm trying to do. I try to be in the child's head of awakening to these concepts. Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So part of this has probably been covered already. So does that also cover, because so many of your books, it's written for, you know, Orthodox Jews, or you're writing about God, or you're writing about Torah and the commandments and things like that. So that would fall into that category of how do you not make it seem like, oh, I'm preaching religion to you versus here's what I see as a beautiful idea in the religion, and let's go discover this beautiful idea.
I think one really good example is the Invisible Book, because it's the concept of the boy is discovering all the different things that are invisible, like gravity. You let go of a book, it falls to the floor.
Right.
What is that invisible force that's pulling the book to the ground?
Right.
There's gravity. And time. Time is invisible. Our feelings are invisible. Our thoughts are invisible. Electromagnetism. What a magnet picks up a paperclip. What is that invisible force? So we recognize there are all these powerful, we see the powerful effects of all these invisible things in our life, and yet we don't see them. We don't see them. So then it becomes so much less hard to understand that we are invisible souls. We have invisible souls. Actually, we are spiritual beings, but that's invisible to us. We look like we're bodies.
Right.
And yet, our souls are so powerful, just like we can understand how powerful gravity is, you know, and even the wind. I mean, we see the effects, and that's how we know that we have souls, too. And so this is like the deepest stuff there is.
Yeah.
But I try to bring it in a way that a child can understand and relate to it.
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah.
Exactly.
Is there ever some sort of research involved in these sort of books? Or do you have to go and look to see, okay, how many other books out there are that? Or usually if you have the idea, it's often because you haven't seen it yet, and then you're not going to research it because you're not trying to write a thesis. You know, you just want to, it's a child discovery.
If there is a book, if the book's already written, I have no point writing it. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
But if it's needed, then I want to write it, or unless someone else is going to do it. But I just want it to exist, you know. So like, I definitely do research. For one thing, like, when a granddaughter was born with severe disabilities, everybody said to me, now you're going to write about a book about disabilities. I said, I don't know much about it. I really don't think I could write a book like that.
Right.
But we need a book like that.
Yes.
So then what happens next week? Somebody writes an article. Her name is Yael Zellinger. She writes an article about the amazing workshops that she's doing. She's going into elementary schools and middle schools, and she's teaching children about disabilities, how to be more sensitive, how to interact better to people that have disabilities. So I go, this would make a great book. I contact her. I say, could I use this material to make a picture book? This would be fantastic. She was so in love with that. So I did that. I made it into a picture book. I didn't know the material.
Right.
This was based on her workshop, you know?
Wow.
So that's what became the book, Let's Appreciate Everyone, where it just teaches such basic, wonderful things to know about disabilities. Like, I didn't even know these things. No one ever told me. When you meet someone in a wheelchair, sit down next to them. Don't be standing up over them. Be on the same level.
Wow.
If you meet somebody that's blind, you come up, you introduce yourself, you say hi, and then you don't walk away. You always say, now I'm going.
Oh.
You know, you tell them I mean, these are such basic things I never learned. And there's so much more. Like, I just learned so much from these workshops. So now they're available for children to all understand and know this. You know, it's just so vital.
Yeah. And it seems like the examples you've given so far, it almost translates just to like a basic respect and not like, oh, special treatment has to occur. You know, it's like different rules that we just have to know, but it's not like I don't think it's something that the other person has to feel uncomfortable with. Like, oh, how do I treat this person? It's very simple. You say hi when you come in and you tell them if you're walking away. Like, you don't have to stress out about it. It's okay. We can all figure this out together. Yeah.
And there's so much, and then there's disabilities that are not obvious.
Right.
And still, like, why is the child always sitting by themselves and not playing? Just try. I'll come over. Just ask them, would you like to join? And maybe they don't.
Right.
But they still feel good being asked. It's like, it just teaches you all these basic things that maybe nobody ever explains, you know?
Right.
And lots more stuff about even people in the Bible, in the Torah, that have disabilities and how great they are, that everybody has strengths. People have weaknesses and people have strengths.
Right.
Ask people that have disabilities to share something with you that they love to do. It's like a wonderful thing to do. You know, like they say, Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses had trouble speaking with his speech. And Yitzchak Isaac was blind. And there's a bunch of different examples. It's like amazing to learn all these things. Yeah.
That's true. It's almost like the writing for kids seems to give the advantage that when you have to simplify it, even for an adult, it's almost a little bit less stressful to try to wrap your mind around certain ideas. Because if you could say it over to a kid and just be like, see, we have gravity, we can have other invisible things we believe in also, that's not so big versus if you're going to read a big thesis or a big study about, you know, either belief in God or about, you know, the psychology or whatever. It's almost overwhelming for an adult to approach that. But it sounds like when you're describing it for kids, it seems like, oh, yeah, I could totally do that. I could.
That's great.
It's not a big deal. Yeah.
It's true. Like, one of my books is Let's Break Bad Habits. So that on the cover we put, these are simple suggestions, not only for children, for adults, too. It's true. When you get it down to the crux of the issue, it's helpful to everybody for any level. And parents are the ones reading the picture books to their children until they get to a certain age, too, so they have to enjoy it as well.
Right, that's true. Yeah. I don't remember this. I have seen many of your books, but I don't remember this offhand. Are most of your books or any of the books written with, like, a rhyming scheme or not necessarily?
Yes, I love rhyming.
Oh, you do love rhyming?
Oh, my gosh.
Because a lot of books...
I do love rhyming.
Right. A lot of kids' books in the secular world are a little bit moving away from the rhyming scheme. You know, we can only write when you're going to write, so yeah.
Some of my books are not rhyming, but I enjoy rhyming so much.
Oh.
It gives it another structure, even.
Right.
You know, the more structure, to a certain extent, actually increases the creativity. Because you have so much fun trying to fit into this certain structure. It's, like, amazing. And I think that is what I found with the Torah guidelines as well. And, you know, when I took on the guidelines and became Orthodox, people think it's very restrictive. It actually freed up my creativity.
Wow.
The guidelines gave me a structure within to be within which I could flow with my creativity, which was helpful rather than not having any boundaries at all. Yeah.
Wow. And just a general question, do you usually have any sort of say in either illustration or who your illustrator is going to be, or is you just trust the publisher to get that, to make that happen?
Great question. Yes. So, the publishers, many of my books were published by Judaica Press. They tend to pick their illustrators. I think like 20 of my books maybe were published by Judaica Press, and a bunch from Hachai, Arts Girl, Feltham, different publishers, but some of them ask me to find the publisher, and usually they find the publisher. So
the illustrator,
sometimes
right.
I've had the opportunity to find the publisher, but usually the publisher has.
They have their kind of illustrator. Have you, aside from a book that's part of a series, do you ever return to the same illustrator? You're always kind of looking for something else. Or there's no rule for that. It just depends on what's going on.
Well, if it's a series, then the publisher picks the same illustrator to do the series unless something changes and they can't.
Right.
But if you like a certain illustrator, you could stick with them, and they could do really different styles. One illustrator did my book Remarkable Park about the things that you learn from animals. She did it by hand painting every page, so beautiful, so colorful.
Wow.
And then the Invisible Book she did using computer graphics. It's adorable. You would never think it was the same artist,
right?
Because she used such different styles. And Dina Ackerman, she illustrated Hashem's Candy Store. So beautiful.
Okay.
It's one of my favorite illustrators, and she is one of my favorite illustrators. And the book, I love how she did that book. Fantastic. And she did another one of my books, Sat on a Hat, which is like an easy reader for a person just starting to learn how to read.
Uh-huh.
This book, Sat on a Hat, and she did it so differently. It's hysterical. I mean, it's funny, adorable pictures, very different than Hashem's Candy Store. So the same illustrator, usually they have a big repertoire and they could do things
right.
Very differently and be so, so talented.
Well,
yeah.
Well, and then do you ever feel like you have to give some sort of guidance for the illustrations, or you kind of see what they come up with and then will comment from there? Or
yeah, great question. They give me, they show me the draft.
Okay.
They draft it like in pencil, a sketch.
Right.
And from there we say if anything's wrong, needs to be changed, stuff like that. We usually almost never make changes once they've colored it in and it's all set. So that's the stage where we make changes, when they do sketches. Yeah.
Wow.
And we do it through the computer. You know, we don't meet in person. Many of the illustrators live in Israel, and I'm here in Baltimore. So it's just, you know, we're emailing back and forth, and that's how we make the changes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Modern technology. So much.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Wow. So very good. I always finish off with the fill in the blank of, I love it when it could be the either writers, illustrators, editors, publishers, anything do X. And I don't really love it when they do X. How would you fill in the blank for that?
I don't like it, you said?
Well, starting with, I love it when they do X, and I don't like it when they do X.
I love it when they're enthusiastic about what I send them, the publisher. Like when I send them a new story and they're so excited about it. There are some publishers, they're really very dry about it. Yes, we accept it and we're going to publish it.
Right.
But I want to hear some enthusiasm. And, and there are some that get really excited and tell me why they really love it and that it's important. You know, that is what I love. What I don't like the most is when you never hear from them at all. It's like it went into a black hole, and I don't know, nothing.
Yeah, that's so true. But that's actually interesting, because even with all the books you have out now, you still sometimes will not, like, you're not, you haven't already become just a name that, like, oh, her, we know her stuff. It's, you still will sometimes not hear back from people?
That's right.
Wow, there you go. Everyone gets the same treatment. Wow.
Yep.
Well, that's good to know.
I have one story out there, and I have never heard back about it.
Wow. Do you send out to all the publishers at the same time, or you'll think about which publisher you want to send to first?
You should do it one at a time, because you don't want two of them. One, it's like that's a confusing situation.
Yeah.
No one would appreciate that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Okay, very good. Well, Brocco, thank you so much for joining us. This has been fantastic. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. I love it. Thank you.
This has been a bonus episode of Oh My Word Podcast featuring picture book writer Brocco Getz. To find out more about Brocco and her work, please visit the link in the episode notes. To find out more about Oh My Word Podcast and all the great stuff we're up to, check us out on Instagram at Oh My Word Podcast or visit eltenenbaum.com. Thanks so much for joining us. Catch you next time.